The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez, and my lovely co-host is Christy Matthews, or co-hostess, Christy Matthews. But I am flying solo on this episode. Well, me and quite a few hairstylists. So last April, I was invited to attend an event called First Looks and the Business of Bridal. And this was put on by Pony Salon and Pony Education. The two professionals educators that were there were Dre Donahue and Karina Hernandez. And these ladies have been working in the hair industry for a long time. They met back when they were working at Bumble and Bumble and have gone on to educate many, many hairstylists. So chances are when you think of planning your wedding, hair might not be the first thing on your list, but for these ladies, it is. And they strongly feel that you out there planning your wedding should put a lot of thought into what your hair is going to look like, because those pictures are going to last forever and you want to be true to your authentic self. So on this episode, not only did I interview Dre and Karina and was able to watch them work, which was amazing, but I also had a chance to sit down with quite a few of the hairstylists that were attending the event to learn from Dre and Karina. And they had some really great, interesting stories and advice for you. So here we go. Without further ado, enjoy my fancy editing on this one. Here we go. The event at First Looks and the Business of Bridal in Oakland, California.
We're just talking. We're just hanging out, man.
Don't yeah. forget this microphone.
I get like nervous.
Shove okay. that big old thing in her face. Okay. What's your name?
My name's Dre Donahue.
And
Karina Hernandez.
Okay. And who are you? What do you do?
We're both hairstylists, and today we're putting on an event called First Looks in the Business of Bridal.
It's Oakland
at Lake Chalet, which is a beautiful venue here in Oakland.
I love it. I love it. So Dre and Andrea, you're the main, I mean, you're what brought these hairstylists here today. You've quite a following. Yeah. I mean, how long have you been doing hair, Dre?
I've been doing hair about 15 years.
And?
I've been doing hair 18 years.
Okay.
And I am based out of Bay Area, yeah. So I have a lot of contacts here, and I've been teaching since 2009 in this area along the West Coast.
Oh.
So that's sort of how I've gotten the following.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Cool.
And I'm based more on the East Coast, where Karina and I originally met. We met in New York working at Bumble and Bumble Salon.
Ah, I've heard of that.
Yeah. So we met there and did a lot of training there, and then we became educators, and now we both have our own brands for teaching other hairstylists.
Awesome. So one of the things that I thought about before doing this episode is how someone's hair like tells a story about them, you know, depending on the person. Like my sister, who's a hairstylist, changes her hair every, I don't know, 3 months, right? And that to me tells a story, because that's someone who's just like, for whatever reason, they want to change. But when you walk around, you look at people at the hair, especially in this room today, and you're like, oh, wow, she put a lot of thought into that. Or like me, I wash my hair, I let it dry. I'm like, fuck it, I don't, you know. I like the color now, but like, mm-hmm. I just let it go. And I think about how you and I talked on the phone about how important it is, and how a lot of women on their wedding day, and men to that end, don't think so much until kind of later on in the process of what they're going to look like. Like, what's their hair going to, what are they going to do with their hair that day? Mm-hmm. And what is their makeup going to look like? And are they really going to invest the time and money and energy into that? And how important that is.
Yeah, I definitely think your hair should be something that feels like you, mm-hmm. But also is the best version of that. And I think with whatever look, with whatever dress or anything you choose, as far as like what your look or vibe is going to be, it goes hand in hand. So that's one of the first things that I tell brides is they need to have their dress, and then we can start to piece together the rest of their beauty. But for me, I mean, that's one of the first, I know I'm a hairstylist, but that's one of the first things that I thought about. I'm like, how am I going to wear my hair? How am I going to do my makeup? And then it was part of my process of figuring out what I was going to wear, was how I wanted my entire feeling of myself to be.
Yeah, totally. I think it's so important to be yourself on that day. And like Drea said, the best version. So how you picture yourself when you're going on that, you know, special, whatever it is you're doing, and you want to look your very best. But still feel, you don't feel like you're, I don't know, uncomfortable with how you look. You feel comfortable, you feel great. And you don't look like every other bride. You look like you, and you just look really damn good. Right?
Yeah. Hello, test. Let me hear you talk.
Oh, you want me to talk?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what's your name?
Gia Tamillo.
Gia Tamillo, and you are a?
A hairstylist.
And you are based out of where?
St. Helena, California.
All right, so wine country.
Wine country.
You moved from?
From Chicago.
From Chicago,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, a little bit of San Francisco, but I'm a Chicago girl.
Okay.
So, but the brides that I have had there are brides from the East Coast.
Oh.
So they knew I moved out here, and so they just referred me, because I'm very new, so I'm just getting into the whole scene there, but it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so beautiful there.
I know, it's like, it's like a wonderland. It's like amazing.
Yeah.
So do you've been doing hair for how long? For
18 years.
In the weddings?
Pretty much.
And what are you seeing? I mean, in like last year, the last couple of years, and maybe this year, are women doing updos for their weddings a lot? Are they doing half up, half down? Are they having their hair down? What do you think they're doing?
I think it's all based on individuality, honestly. Like, one of my most favorite things about doing weddings is looking at the dress. The first thing I say is I want to see the dress.
Mm-hmm.
And just matching the hair and then working with a makeup artist to match everything so mm-hmm. it just looks seamless. What I do love, though, is timeless looking looks.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
there's nothing worse than, for instance, a friend of mine, when I first started doing hair, she wanted that, like, Audrey Hepburn thing. This is in the 90s.
Yeah.
And so every time I see that image, it's like that was the 90s.
Yeah.
So what I really prefer and what I think people are liking now are things that are, you can look at it and not know what year it is.
Oh, classic.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's probably what a lot of women go for.
Yeah.
For weddings. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, because you want those photos to be timeless.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of braids because I feel like it's giving it time too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but those are
they're
happening
so
a lot right now, right?
Yeah,
now, right?
Hot,
the whole like boho yeah. like braids, but like flowy,
but not.
Yeah.
I like the but not.
But not. The but not.
The but not.
It's hard to achieve the but not.
It is hard to. That's the one I like. The
yeah.
one that's hard to achieve.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, these women are brides to be, they have had this image in their head since they've been 5 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's a lot of pressure for the artist to go in. But look, I never had that perfect image for myself. So
yeah.
When I do upstyling, it's more like just going with what they want, you know?
Yeah. What if they don't know what they want? Does that ever happen?
Oh, even
happen?
Better, though.
Is that better for you?
A little, sometimes. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you wouldn't hire an electrician to do your sewage or whatever, you
right,
know, like,
right, right.
You know, so it's like I just feel like, yeah, then it comes out more organically and you get a better look. Like, usually the mom is a little intense, so what I've been known to do is whisper in the bride's ear and say, this is your wedding.
Yeah.
So, you know, because it's not only like that you're a great hairstylist or a makeup artist, but it's that you're going to hang out with your most intimate friends and family for 5 hours on one of the most important days of your life. So you kind of have to like your hairstylist as well.
So I
like to just kind of bond right off the bat.
And
if they choose not to go with me, which hasn't really happened, but if, maybe
good
once it did, but I kind of think we fired each other.
It was mutual.
It was a mutual firing. Yeah. But yeah, usually we try to just keep it real right from the gate, because otherwise then, you know, you're already stressed. So you got to look at those certain people who are.
You're somebody that they see first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Like before they even, before sometimes before the photographer, oftentimes before the photographer, before all the action begins. So they're in a kind of like, what state do you see them in? What do you, what would you say? I mean, is it vulnerable?
The first word,
is it
that
like
was the first word that came
vulnerable?
To my head. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been doing bride's hair and they're writing their vows or, you know, or they're like wrapping the package like for the first gift or, that they give or whatnot, things like that. So it could be a very intimate moment.
Yeah.
And I tend to be really good at taking myself out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And just being with them and doing what they, like kind of, I don't want to say catering to them, but almost,
yeah.
And just being their friend for the day.
That's interesting. I never thought about that because me as a planner, I'll like schedule like, okay, your hairstylist is going to be there at 8:30. She's going to set up. She'll be ready to go by 8:45. And I'll send my bride's text because I'm usually not there that early because I come in later, or sometimes I come in like just to get, make sure the ceremony's space is set up and, you know, talk with all the vendors while she's getting beautified. But I do see that there is that, you know, like you said, vulnerable time that she's in. She's no makeup on. She's in a robe. You know, she kind of is like, this is going to happen today.
Yeah, you're pretty much
this
naked.
This is happening.
It's happening.
I still don't know. I still haven't experienced it. I haven't seen him. Maybe she's just opened a letter or, you know, and there's tears and there's nervous energy and
it's fun. It's a good day, you know.
Yeah.
It's such a cool, you know, celebrating love, you know. There's nothing like it. You know. There's one upstyle I did and she looked in the mirror and started crying. And I was like, "Oh my God, what did I do?" She goes, "No, she didn't get along with her mom. So she didn't invite her mom to the wedding. Or she didn't, the mom didn't come, I don't remember." But she started crying and I said, "Oh my God, are you okay?" And she said, "I look like my mom. I don't want this. Come on, this. I don't want this." Because she said she looked like her mom. And then there's me starting to cry. I'm like, you know, I connect with these people, you know. And
so what'd you do?
So let's go. Let's take it down.
Was
let's
she
start
late?
Over.
Like, were you running behind?
No, that's one thing about me, though. Like, I usually have makeup artists giving me the stink eye because I'm really fast.
Because
it comes out of me really easy.
Yeah.
So I usually slow it down, and that's when I get my time, when I slow down to do the friend thing or the comfort thing.
Yeah. They need that.
I've sewn someone into a dress before, a bridesmaid.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That was a mess. She was crying.
Oh.
Because she felt so bad, you know.
What, did the zipper break?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She obviously was not fat at all, but she was like, "Oh, my God, I like knew I should have bought it." You know, I'm like, I'm like, just shut up. We're going to do this. And so she put her arms up, and people were pushing, and we were sewing her in, and so many cool opportunities I had in this business.
Any kind of advice that you would give for someone getting married this summer? Like, do you tell your brides, like, come with dirty hair, come with clean hair?
Oh, what do you think? That's big. That's big.
Which one?
Because this rage of coconut oil is really popular. Everybody putting coconut oil in their hair.
Oh.
And then they come in. It's big in New York, you know?
Okay.
And big in the East
Coast.
Yeah. And then they come in, and then they want all this volume, and you're like, you have, like, a lot of coconut oil. I don't know if it's going to, but you tell them, and they know, they're like, oh, it's cool. You know, usually people don't care, especially bridesmaids and all that. They're pretty open-minded, but my suggestion is to get treatments leading up to it.
Treatments?
Yeah.
At your hair salon? Mm-hmm. Like, what sort of treatments? Get a little closer.
Like, volumizing treatments.
Oh.
Yeah, good volumizing treatment. I would say do it. You could even do it you can get a treatment for the blowout the night before.
Uh-huh.
That's usually what I like to do.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, and then thinking about the bride or groom who has no idea, right? They just started planning their wedding and they do know they want to hire a hairstylist. What should they expect from a hairstylist for their wedding day? Like, what services should they have? What should that be?
So I think if to put it into like a process of like however long when you find somebody to the very end, I think it's talking about getting your hair color right. Mm-hmm. So the hairstylist can refer you to a great colorist if you don't have one already, if they think it needs something. Mm-hmm. I think haircuts, if especially the last haircut leading up to the wedding, I always like to have my hands in that haircut.
You
because
do.
I have, it makes me know what's happening with the hair. Mm. And I don't have to fear that the last haircut they got is not going to work with the style that we decided on. Mm-hmm. And then I think also like thinking about the health of someone's hair and being able to, give some like product recommendations or things like that with for like 8 months, I think is a nice like addition to getting everything looking its very best.
So maybe in addition to maybe their workout, getting in shape for the wedding, yeah. they're getting their hair ready for mm-hmm. the wedding.
And also like facials, making sure like your skin looks the best it can.
Water.
Yeah. It's like the time you're going to do all that stuff. So yeah. you might as well.
Did you also want to know about like them booking a trial? Like, is
yeah,
that
I have questions about that. But going back to what they should expect, so their hairstylist should, you know, like have a contract, right? And you know, like what can they expect as far as like range of pricing? Do they pay a deposit? When is the balance due? You know, what are the policies on all that kind of stuff?
People have different policies. I think generally there is a commitment with a deposit. So you pay part of it and then you pay the rest on the day of.
What's generally like half up front or
yes.
a third or?
Yeah, it depends. Like it can be half. I think generally it's half.
And that's like non-refundable?
And it's non-refundable if they cancel last minute. Yeah.
So the deposit that I take is half and it usually like it's a week from the day I do the trial. I give them that week to decide for me to hold that date.
Now, I heard you say you charge for the trial separately.
Yes.
Why do you do that?
I charge for the trial separately because it's my time. And if, you know, this is, it's feeling it out. Like maybe I'm not the right person for this bride mm-hmm. or maybe the bride's not the right person for me either.
Yeah.
You know, like it's definitely like a feeling of vibing with someone. So, I need to at least get paid for my time. I don't charge like overcharge for trials, but I definitely need my time.
And they go to you for the trial generally.
Yes. Yeah. Generally. I have a slightly higher rate if I'm on location for a trial.
Okay. And here's always a question I wonder about, and I think a lot of brides do. They have the moms, and then they have like six attendants and like a junior bridesmaid and, you know, a flower girl. And, you know, the bride can't necessarily, it's not in her budget to pay for everybody's hair. And so she says, you know, I have a big wedding party and I think they're going to want it done. I know at least Susan's going to, because she always, you know, and Rachel might, but she's kind of a flake. And, you know, Karen is, I want her with me on that day. So I'm really going to recommend that they call you. Right. So here's my deposit. But then now you're like, okay, well, I don't know if I'm going to have these six other or eight other women come to me on that Saturday. How do you handle that? Do you give them a deadline to book you by, or do you say, I'm not going to do it, but somebody else will do it?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I have a minimum day rate that I have to be on location.
Gotcha.
So, my day rate includes the bride and then, you know, usually two additional people. And then beyond that, if anyone additionally wants to book, it's a additional rate beyond that. So at least I know I have my day rate to be able to book that day. And then beyond that, it's add-ons. But I do like to have an idea. I need an idea.
It's really important also for time. It's really important. Like I feel like day rates are so much better than charging by the individual because of that reason. Because there can be like seven or there can be two. But you still have your entire day that you're spending there, that you're not making money anywhere else.
I think that's also, that's a good idea for you, because it's more of an incentive for that bride to say, you guys get your shit together, because I just paid a deposit and this is the day, right? And I need your money. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
My name's Marissa. Predominantly, I come from a really heavy makeup background, so I was with MAC Cosmetics for about 6 years, and then when I moved to Los Angeles, I dropped off and started doing production work and a lot of wedding work.
Cool.
So I'm based out of Sacramento right now. Yeah, so Central California. I've been doing weddings, gosh, since 2010. I have a huge demographic, but I feel like what's drawn to me the most is, like, the real girl. Everyone wants to feel like themselves, not overdone, and I love that. So I like to kind of, I listen to their story, and then I try to create a look that matches their story, and curate looks that just go with their story and what they want to be shown for their big day or event.
You know, that's interesting, because when I was thinking about putting together this episode and hair and makeup in general, I went back to when I got married, which was a really long time ago. It was in 2001.
Yeah.
And I remember that I had a very low budget. And I found someone on Craigslist who was starting out. Her name was Maria. I will never forget. She did my hair and makeup for like $100.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, and it was fine, but I like bought a tiara and I had an updo. And I'm not that kind of girl, okay? And I think about it, and I'm like, why did I wear a friggin' tiara?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and why did I do an updo? Like, that's not me. Like, I literally wash my hair and let it dry.
Yeah.
I don't do shit. I put on makeup for today because you guys are all hair and makeup stylists.
But I think, like, we all do that, though.
But right. So it's like, it's interesting that you say that your client, who's coming to you are people who want to be like them, and you go off of their story.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit more about how you kind of keep them to their authentic selves, but, you know, enhancing that. Like, what do you do?
So I ask about their lifestyle, and I do that with my hair and my makeup. Like, what do you do for a living? What's your everyday? And, of course, at the end of the day, it's their day. So if they want to be a princess, then I'll give that to them. But I just don't want them to have regrets of, like, why did I do that? Or I shouldn't have done over the top. And I don't push my opinions. I'm like, that's a great idea, but how would you feel? And, you know, we do dream boards and inspiration boards and, you know, the Pinterest thing.
Yeah.
But I basically like to listen to, like, their lifestyle. How did you meet your fiancé or significant other? Again, what do you do for a living? And then I kind of pick and choose. I show them things that I've done, and then they pick off of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I think for me, what makes my job special is, like, being, like, allowing them allowing me to be a part of their special day. And just, for me, my clients end up being my friends. Like, I genuinely care about my clients. And to me, it's that connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What tips do you give your client or anybody listening who's getting married soon? Like, what would you tell them some good tips are?
Invest. A lot of people have, it's business, and sometimes things are expensive, but it's that day that makes everything worth it. And I feel like a lot of people just want to go the easy way out, and they kind of put hair and makeup last on their to-do list of, like, whatever's in the budget. But I just, if the makeup artist or stylist, hairstylist is wedding, like, willing to come to you and they have their kit and they're willing to do it, it's totally worth the investment. Not saying that, I mean, you can find really great people on Craigslist. I was one of those people when I first started. But a lot of people just kind of make it last minute, and it ends up being a disaster. I've had clients call me the night before their wedding saying that their makeup artist didn't work out or they didn't show. So that makes a big ball in my stomach to think about that, because I'm getting married in October. So I would say definitely trials are great. That way you can curate a look. And I always have, when I go to trials, I write down everything that I use so that on the day of, there's that blueprint. There's no mistake. There's no, you know, it's all ready to go.
Yeah.
So I would definitely say make the investment instead of just waiting last minute, because I feel like just being in the industry for so long, people just kind of throw it on the back burner.
How would you recommend someone find the right hair makeup stylist?
So I'm a reference girl. I love, again, I make connections with my clients. So when they go into finding a makeup artist, they know it's a good fit because that person has a connection with someone that had that experience with me.
Yeah.
So if it's someone that you know, like friends, family, and they're just
referrals
like, I know
the
this
best.
Person.
Yeah.
Yeah, just because there's a lot of love in that. You know what I mean? It's not just like, oh my God, I found this girl on Instagram. And not to discredit Instagram. I think it is the best way to market.
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes it's not for everybody.
Right.
So I would definitely say just do your research. Look at their portfolios, their profile. Talk to them. Call them. I feel like everyone emails and texts to communicate.
Yes.
But for me, I like to talk to my clients and be like, when's the big day and how excited are you? I bring champagne when we do a trial. When I do, you know, the actual wedding day, I leave them with like a lip kit and like a blotting powder just so that they don't feel like they're abandoned afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm a reference girl. I think that's the best way to, you know, make sure that the big day feels comfortable and it feels right.
Yeah.
But I feel like sometimes social media is not always real.
Mm.
There's filters there, and it's like, everyone wants to look like Kim Kardashian, but not everyone has the features for that. So you go in thinking you want something, and the artist creates it, and it's not suitable for you.
We have found a really awesome way for you to make your wedding even more unique and memorable. Songfinch, who is sponsoring this episode, is a personalized gifting company that brings stories, feelings, and memories to life through one-of-a-kind songs. You can create the perfect first dance song or tell your parents how much they mean to you in a song for your dance with them on your wedding day, or a beautiful love song for your wedding website. There are so many possibilities, and they have a community of over 300 songwriters and musicians who are sure to create a song that represents one of the best days of your life. There's two different ways to create a personalized song with Songfinch. One is you can build from an existing foundation. So you browse and you select the perfect music, vocalist, and chorus that speaks to your heart. You share your stories to help shape the song's lyrics, and your selected vocalist writes and records two new personalized verses to make the song yours. Or share your stories to help shape the song's lyrics. Select your song's mood, genre, and vocalist type to shape the song's sound, and they will select the perfect songwriter to record your one-of-a-kind song from scratch. Songfinch is offering our listeners a 10% discount for a song from scratch. Use promo code BIGWEDDING for 10% off your personalized song from scratch. Again, promo code BIGWEDDING for 10% off your personalized song from scratch. Thank you, Songfinch. I heard you mention something I thought that was interesting. Someone asked you, how often do you end up cutting the bride's hair? Like, I think you even said once you did it on a wedding day itself.
Yeah.
But like, how often did they come in for a trial and you guys decide to do something completely drastic and different and you just cut their hair?
I would say it's rare that I would cut someone's hair off. This bride, I mean, she had a real vision for like the look that she wanted. So she wore like a jumpsuit and we cut it into a bob and then we slicked it back.
Ugh,
so that was
cute.
Like, yeah, she had, you know, she was really open to like take like
risk
doing something.
There.
Yeah. Doing something fun and different. And that's her personality. So that works for her. But a lot of times I think the haircut like leading up to it's very important to get the hair to where you need it to be for the style you're going to do. But yeah, I think it's pretty rare for someone to cut their hair off the day.
Like something that I'll do and offer my brides is like maybe a couple weeks before, if they have like no bangs and they want their hair all back, I always like little hairs that kind of fall out, just a few here and there. So I'll take out bulk and weight in a way that when they put their hair back, they have these little pieces that just, you know, sexy pieces, not too much. It's still long hair, but it really adds to their look. And I feel like they're into it. And so that's kind of what I offer sometimes, but not usually on the day of. No. Yeah.
So what if they, I mean, do you, have you had anyone come to you, like they hire you eight or 9 months out, and then they decide to do a whole new look, and they have their stylist, like, cut their hair. Like, is that something you would strongly not recommend they do? Or, like, do you care? You're like, whatever, I'm up for a challenge.
No, I'd love if their hair was what we talked about originally.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had that happen. I had a bride that we were planning on doing, like, a French twist on, and then she had her hair cut the week before, and she had, like, a chin-length bob cut.
Ooh.
And I don't know. She was like, I think she cut it a little shorter than I was like, yeah, it's, we're going to have to make this work. But we did. I mean, luckily, like, I had some extensions with me and we made it work. But yeah, I mean, I think that's why it's really important, especially like to touch base with your hairstylist before you see them if something changed like that, so you can change directions.
Do you work with extensions a lot, would you say?
Yeah.
What percentage of the time are you using extensions in bridal hair?
75%
of
the time.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the type of extensions that I typically do for bridal, I don't do, like, the type that takes a really long time to put in. These are just, like, quick, for the day extensions that can be just taken out. They're not something that bonds to your hair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. How long in advance should someone do their trial for the wedding?
It can be anywhere from like 2 years to a year and a half, a year.
What's the ideal?
I don't know. Ideally, at least a year.
Really?
Or like 8 months.
A trial.
Like you said, 8 months to a year. Well, because I think people book out too. So your hair, you kind of have to find your person, get your date settled and all of that.
Oh, because it's not confirmed until you do a trial.
Yeah. Because when I got married, I waited way too long to find a makeup artist and there was no one available. Mm. So I did my own makeup. And I think I waited like 5 months prior and my date was just, everybody was booked. So I felt like,
yeah,
you know,
say between eight
hairdressers
year,
book up similarly. Yeah.
All right. And then do they ever come back and say, I want to do another trial because I'm not sure. I feel like I want to try something different. And then, of course, you charge for that again, right? Because you're like, okay.
Yeah. Sometimes I do charge and then sometimes I don't charge, really. Hmm. It's really based on, like, I don't know. I want to get the feeling right or what's happening with the hair right. And if I didn't really like it either when we did it, then sometimes I won't charge them.
I gotcha.
Like sometimes, like, it, again, it's like a discovery process for the hairstylist and the bride together. Like a lot of times I've never done this person's hair, so I need to feel it out too. Mm-hmm. So if there was something during the trial that I wasn't feeling 100% about, then sometimes I'll do it complimentary and I'll have them come back in. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what's your name?
Elise.
Elise. And you're a hairstylist?
Hairstylist and salon owner.
And salon owner. Okay.
Yeah.
Where's your salon?
In Sacramento, California.
Oh, what's it called?
Bird and Bull.
Cute.
Yeah.
And you are?
Rebecca Kingsley.
Rebecca Kingsley,
yeah.
And you're a hairstylist?
Yeah, I work at Bird and Bowl.
Okay, cool. And you guys do lots of weddings?
Lots of weddings.
Lots and lots and lots?
Yeah, I would say lots and lots, like this time of year, for sure.
Do they come to you, or do you go to them?
Both.
Both, okay. What do you prefer for them to come to you?
I like going to them.
Do you?
Yeah, I like seeing the venues and kind of being more like a part of the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes it more fun. I feel like it's such an honor to be a part of someone's day, and to see them in their venue just has such an impact on you. I think it's like those little moments where you realize your job is probably the coolest thing, because it's almost like you're getting a mini vacation, but you're also impacted by this person's entire emotional journey with this story.
So yeah.
It's such an honor.
Okay, so we were talking about brides who are in the LGBTQ community, and you got married how long ago, Elise?
I got married 3 years ago in May in our home, so yeah.
In the backyard?
Backyard wedding.
Yeah.
Yep.
What did you wear?
I wore a very simple dress, just kind of classic.
White?
White.
What did she wear?
My wife is an extreme tomboy and wanted to be able to do high kicks and surprised me and was wearing a like fully lace gown. So it was gorgeous. I'd never seen her in a dress. It was amazing. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was really cool.
And who did your hair and makeup?
The woman who owned the salon I was working at, Angelina at Dita, did my hair. Diana Gonzalez works at Dita. She did my makeup. They're amazing. Just really, really great.
And how about your wife? Did she get hair and makeup done?
Yep, both.
And did you know she was going to get hair and makeup done?
Yes, I booked that.
You booked that? You're like, you're putting on makeup.
Uh-huh.
And so she surprised you with the gown.
Mm-hmm.
Because you, what did you think she was going to wear?
We definitely had been looking at, like, custom suits or, you know, just doing something where we, you know, buy it and tailor it to fit her.
Yes.
She's definitely more of, like, almost like a suit and tie, Justin Timberlake vibe.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, very cute.
So how was her makeup? What'd you do with her hair? Does she have long hair, short hair?
She has really short hair. We did, like, a curly pompadour with, like, shaved sides. Makeup was super dramatic, like a really bold, smoky eye.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, really beautiful.
It's cool. So do you have any advice for the LGBTQ community with regard to hair and makeup, or is it the same just for straight people?
I feel like there's a little bit of difference. There's definitely, like, a grounding and a comfort zone that you're going to do. I just feel like you need to acknowledge them and how they might feel about makeup and hair. It's slightly different because it's not, maybe not as exciting. It's more nerve-wracking. So just getting them to be as authentic as they can be and having a thorough consultation with them about what they expect and how they want to feel. I think we all want to feel the same, right?
Yeah.
So it's just maybe getting there a little bit differently.
Yes.
And really pulling imagery that's appropriate to them. Don't show them a Pinterest bride with long blonde flowing hair.
Yes.
You know, really research that look and just ask them how they want to feel, because I think we all, yeah, like I said, want to feel just our perfect selves, you know.
Yeah.
I
think too, it was like an example with Renee, your wife, is she did what she wanted, not what was expected.
Yeah.
So just to know that there's not like a rule to it. Do what feels genuine in yourself.
Yes, I love that.
And with my own trial, which I require for all of my brides, I went in thinking I wanted that French chignon with, like, the silk dress and just had this very bridal image of myself. And we got to the end of the updo, and I was like, I hate this.
You
and
did.
We ended up, I wore my hair down with, like, a small flower crown. And, I mean, it was the complete opposite of what I thought my bridal experience would be.
Yeah.
And I ended up feeling so comfortable, and I love my photos. So it really is so important to have that moment for yourself, because it's okay to say no to what you thought maybe your childhood dream of yourself would be,
you know? And that's interesting. I want to talk about the trials versus what happens on the wedding day. Are they drastically different sometimes, or does it usually go as planned?
I always, during the trial, just make them feel like this is just us getting to know your hair more than, like, you know, this is how it has to be, like, getting to know their hair enough that if they do want to change it on the wedding day, we can do that easily and it's not stressful. So a trial to me is more getting to know your personality, your style of your wedding, how your hair reacts to certain things, and then really going from there, having pictures so you can text me and say, oh, I didn't really like that. Like, you don't have to love your trial 100%.
Do you tell them that? Like, listen, if you walk out of here and you hate it, I want you to tell me.
Yes.
Like, pretty much don't walk out of here and hate
it. Exactly, yeah. And I say, if there's a hair that's out of place, like, don't feel afraid to tell me that, because your happiness is going to make this easier, so.
What about those people who are shy and it's hard for them to speak up, but they look at themselves while they're doing the trial, like, if that was me, if you knew I was sitting in your chair, what would you tell me? Like, I mean, because I don't like confrontation very much, Becca, and I don't like to tell people when I don't like things.
Which I think it's super important right from the beginning to let them know this is communication. It's honest that I'm not getting my feelings hurt. Like, it has nothing to do with that. And you can look at a bride and tell if she's feeling great or if she's, like, having hesitation. So I just say, hey, like, if there was something that you would want to do different, like, what would that look like?
Yeah.
I always find that, like, mirror face comes into play when there's that moment where she loves it. It's like she loses you. Like, she's in the mirror and she's maybe even
she
stands
hear
up.
Anything
she
you're
can't
saying.
Hear you. and she smiles and she's like starting to do her pursed lip face, and you see it, and that's the moment where you're like, okay, at least I'm headed in the right direction. And that's so magical. And so if you're not getting that, you probably need to either communicate a little bit better or ask them if they want to try a different look on, you know, have enough time to really serve the client in the appropriate way.
I love that. And now that you say that, when I'm getting my hair done and I'm in the salon, I know exactly that moment you're talking about when you're like, oh shit, I look really good yes. right now. Wait, what? What? Yeah.
Sure, I want all the product.
yeah. Sell it everything to me right now. I look amazing. Awesome. Any other tips or tricks that you would give to anyone listening? Yes.
So I've had several brides who, somewhere in the bridal party, the communication has not been given to have a decent amount of food for your bridal party during this experience. Sometimes these women are up at like 5 in the morning with you. So to provide, you know, some kind of like brunch and then maybe even like a small lunch just to keep, I don't know, a hangry bride, bridal party,
blood sugar
combo,
levels.
It just, yeah. it's not going to affect you well. So I always give that tip in the trial that like, go get yourself some sandwiches from Whole Foods or, you know, a fruit plate, something to eat, stay hydrated. Like taking care of yourself is going to make your experience of the day be so much smoother.
That's
so,
such a good tip.
Any self-care tips where like this can make this a lot more organized and, you know, user-friendly. It elevates the experience for everyone. Yeah. So that's my
really
tip.
That's a really good tip. Yeah. You have anything?
I think a very realistic schedule for the day for getting ready goes a long way.
Yes.
That is my thing that I am the most organized about. I give myself ample time. I'm usually done ahead of time because that can make or break the whole feel.
All
and
right.
It's right before. It's up to the moment that they're about to go out. So
let's expand on that.
Yeah.
Because we have a 3-part series that we have on wedding day timelines, right? Because as a wedding planner, I'm scheduling from hair and makeup to getting the dress on to getting in the car and driving, right? So you tell me if I'm right. I usually schedule 90 minutes for the bride.
Okay.
Hair and makeup. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's split.
Yeah.
And then I do about 45 minutes usually to an hour for each bridesmaid and mother. If they're only doing makeup, I do 30 minutes, or if they're only doing hair, 30 to 45, depending on what the hair is. Am I right?
Yeah, I usually...
What's your ideal?
I like to give myself 45 minutes for a person for hair, just alone.
Whether it's the bride or...
The bride I'll usually give 45 in the beginning. I do a blow-dry set, let her set all day, and then I style her last or second to last, depending on her makeup schedule.
Yeah.
And then I give every bridesmaid 45 minutes because some people will come in, they could have not washed their hair. You don't really know. So if you need to take extra, then it allows time if, you know, you're running behind or ahead. It just kind of falls in a nice spot. And then I just like to be 2 clients away from the makeup artist.
2 clients away from the makeup artist. Explain that.
So I'm never, if you're 2 clients away from the makeup artist, like if I have Sally and I need Megan and she's getting her makeup done and we have to switch back and one of us is ahead or behind, then it messes up. It's like a trickle down effect.
Yeah,
so if you're
domino.
2 away, you never are relying on like the other person to kind of
nice.
Do that. And it runs very smoothly.
Okay, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's an updo, you say you'll set her first, the bride, and then like just I'll see you in a couple hours, go do something?
Yeah, and I never do like a curl set, just a blow dry set. So just so that when I take it down and go to style it, it has natural volume and there's some bend to the hair. So no matter what you do, it's very loose.
Uh-huh.
It's not here or there. So no matter what the style is at the end, it works and it holds up because the product's been sitting there and all that.
Do you want them to wash their hair that morning?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Come
damp.
With wet hair?
Mm-hmm. Damp hair so I can put all the product in.
Okay.
It's clean. I don't want a bride to feel gross on her wedding day with greasy hair. Like, I can put the product in so it stays, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should she condition her hair when she washes it?
If she wants to on the ends. You never condition your roots, but that's just a general rule.
General
so, yeah.
rule of thumb.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should the wedding party bridesmaids, should their hair match? like dresses. Do you think dresses should match? First of all, I'm curious on your take
on
that.
I don't, because we all have different bodies and we feel good in what we feel good in. And we want to feel good too. It's not our day, but we want to look good. And hair can be different too. I think if you're open to it, it looks cool. As long as it has like a similar feeling, it could be different, right?
Yeah, for sure. Like it... A lot of times I'll tell my brides, maybe let's pick three options together of things that we can offer for your bridesmaids.
Oh, so they sit down, you're like, you want selection A, B, or C?
Or just, you know, showing them images so that the bridesmaids aren't all over the place. So it makes it cohesive.
Yeah. All right. Now talk about, let's talk about what are you seeing right now? What's everybody doing? What's everybody been doing the last year? And what do you think they're going to be doing in 2018 and future? Let's talk hot trends, you know,
hot
like People
trends,
magazine kind
topics.
Of shit.
So
personally, I hate trends, but let's talk that because some people love trends.
I think it's so different regionally too.
Oh
right?
Yeah, because you're, where are you
I'm
at?
I'm in New York.
Yeah, like you're in East Coast.
Mm-hmm, East
yeah.
Coast.
Oh yeah, good.
Karina's in San Francisco. Like
you're
we're
West
like
Coast.
Opposite.
Karina's West Coast.
Yeah. So I mean, for me right now, it's about that set, like that more polished, put together set down. A lot of right now, I feel like that's pretty popular, is wearing your hair down. And that's one of the first things I'll ask him, like, do you ever wear your hair up? And they're like, no. And I'm like, well, that probably doesn't feel like you then.
Right.
So a lot of down sets.
I saw that model you did, like the Jessica Rabbit feel. Are you talking about like that? Like that sleek? What is that? A wave? What is that? What is that?
It's like a 40s set, soft wave, brushed out, you know, like a Veronica Lake vibe.
Oh yeah, Veronica Lake. So that's the majority of what you're seeing on the East Coast, New York. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. That's the majority.
Yeah. The microphone goes to the mouth. Yeah. In a podcast, they can't see you shaking your head. Yes or no.
Yes.
Okay. And then, Karina on West Coast, where we
see? I think you're seeing it all over here. We have a lot of transplants in San Francisco from all over the place. So you're seeing everything. So it's really good to brush up on all the current trends. But I do feel like California has more of that like beachy wave kind of, I want to look like I didn't do my hair or, you know, like curling iron waves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing. I didn't really work at this at all. It just fell like this.
Yeah. It just took 2 hours to do.
Yeah.
They're not afraid of like some fuzzy pieces and some
out
of
place. Yeah. I saw you doing that.
Yeah.
I can't do that with my hair. I liked it, but when I put my hair up, I'm such a fucking control freak that I'll do that. And I'm like, oh God, oh no, I'm panicking. I have to put it all up. I have to sleek it out. And my husband's always like, it's too tight.
Are you from the East Coast or West Coast?
No, West Coast. Mm. Born and raised in the Bay Area, but I'm a wedding planner. So let's talk about the day of itself. So everything's in place. You know what you're doing. You had an awesome trial. You guys have been talking on the phone. You're texting back and forth. You love this girl, right?
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, I'm getting married at a barn. So where are we going to do? What do I need to do my hair and makeup? What kind of a space do you need? What do you need there?
I need a chair. I need a mirror.
Chair for her.
For her to sit in.
Yes. Yes. A mirror, a big mirror, small mirror.
No, I mean, as long as it has a reflection, I need something. I mean, it could be.
It needs to be freestanding.
Yeah. I mean, she needs a full length mirror too.
Yeah, of course.
For the day, but I need a full length mirror to see what I'm doing while I'm working.
Yeah.
And then I need a table and maybe two. If I'm lucky, some good lighting.
What are you laying out on the table?
All my tools. So my hot tools, my curling irons, my products, my pins. I need a little bit of space to spread out. Probably about the same as a makeup artist, honestly. Yeah. And then I need power. So I need like a good amount of power.
Like 120 volt watts. Like big old.
A generator.
Three pronger.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But I mean, the blow dryer, the curling iron.
Yeah. And especially if I have an assistant with me and like we need we need to plug in so we're not blowing fuses all day long, because that's, it takes up a lot of time to fix those problems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or maybe suggest where, you know, wherever they're staying, you do it in their bathroom instead of the barn.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What about lighting? For you, for hair, that's not as important as with makeup.
No, it's not as important.
Yeah. Does hair come first or makeup come first?
It's either for me. For me, it doesn't matter. Yeah. But some makeup artists, it matters. And sometimes they want to do the makeup last, so it's the freshest.
Ah.
So I don't know. What do you think?
For me, I never like to do the bride first, but a lot of times I like to start her set. If I'm setting her hair, I'll do that first and then I'll send her to makeup.
What do you mean setting her hair? What does that mean?
So whatever texture we're creating for the look that we're doing, I generally for the bride will set it in pins of some type. So yeah, so it's out of her way, and it's out of the makeup artist's way, and it doesn't fall until we need to finish it at the end.
And do you need her hair? Do you want her to wash her hair that morning and have it wet? Do you want her to put any product in it? What's the ideal? Or does it depend on the style?
So, no, generally, almost 100% of the time, unless I'm the one that did her hair for the rehearsal dinner, I want her hair clean. And I want no product in it, not even like the shiny smoothing product that you put in it every day, nothing. I just want raw, natural textured, clean, dry hair.
So just wash your hair. Oh, you want her to blow dry it?
No.
Just let it air dry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
My name is Shelley Cross. I'm a hairstylist, yes. I live and based out of Sacramento, but I work at Barrow Salon in San Francisco. I do a lot of weddings.
How long have you been doing hair?
About 12 years now. Yeah.
And how long have you been doing weddings?
I think since I've started doing hair, I feel like I've always been into styling.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's not something that, I mean, I used to be a little scared of it, but I think most people tend to be scared of it, but.
Of doing weddings?
Styling.
Styling.
Yes.
Styling. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, weddings, I mean, I don't know. For me, like, my aesthetic is a little bit more lived in and, like, natural.
Yeah.
Like, I guess organic. I don't know. A lot of my brides want to, like, wake up and look like they just threw their hair up, but still look, like, really nice.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I attract really more, like, low-key, mellow brides.
That's my favorite type of
bride. I tend to have more of an issue with the mothers. Tend to have more to say than the bride.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think mothers, too, from the time you're a little girl, you know, mom wants your hair a certain way. She wants you to look a certain way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when it comes to hair and styling, I feel like men are often overlooked.
Yes.
You know, like I did a wedding once where the makeup artist stayed for the whole thing, but she wasn't only touching up the bride, she was touching up the groom too, like shiny for photos.
Yeah, which is so important. It's like those important things get sidetracked sometimes, I believe. So,
good tips and tricks.
Ultimately, like, I think that less is more. Mm-hmm. And I think tricks as far as, like, for styling hair or, like, the aesthetic that they want to find is that they don't have to, like, stick to the normal, like, bridal hair.
Yes.
I say that in, like, quotations because a lot of my clients will be like, I don't want, like, bridal hair or, like, that prom hair.
Yes.
Where it's, like, really overdone or it looks like they've gotten their hair done.
Yeah.
So that's why I say less is more.
Yes.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. What about men? Do you guys ever do men's hair for weddings?
Yes, I've done some husbands and
fiancés.
You're right. Fiancés.
Yeah.
I've done some fiancés. I don't do a lot of the groomsmen. They usually are done, but I've done the fiancés before.
So you've done brides.
And I do a lot of the groom's haircuts.
Beforehand.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Like the bride will be like, can you cut his hair?
Can you please do something with
please?
This?
Please. So that's nice. And then I always do one walkthrough on the groomsmen before they're done when they're getting ready.
Do you?
I just want to like make sure that they don't look crazy.
I think that's great.
Yeah,
I think
it's
that's great.
Quick. And that it takes 2 seconds.
That doesn't happen often.
You just have like your brush and your.
I bring product. Some like a little yeah. bit of like I bring a little bit of like cream to put in their hair if it's yeah. like a fuzzy. Ball
they probably love it too. They're like,
they
oh yeah,
they do. They're like, oh okay,
it feels so it's special. My well, why shouldn't they have that? You know. Oh, do you stay? Do you go? Like, how long do you stay?
And if it's a really good friend, then I'll stay if I'm invited. Obviously, if it's you know, it's just a job, someone you don't really know, then you do. I usually do the job and then I go. I don't wait. I like will make sure she's. Look, I look at her before I go and I make sure she looks great and the pins are good and then I pack up and go.
Do you ever come after the ceremony and do a touch up before reception or do a change? Have you ever done like, okay, now she's going to change her gown and we're going to change her hair?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if they want me to stay for touch ups and changes, that's fine. It's just an hourly.
Yeah.
Right. After that.
Does that happen often for you?
To be honest, it happens a good amount, mm-hmm. but by the time they're headed to the cocktail hour, they don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Like I try to tell people that and they're like, but I want to stay and like do another look. And by that time they're just like ready to have fun.
Yeah.
So, but awesome. I will stay if you want me to.
I'll stay. I'll do a little YMCA dance. I'll have a couple shots. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. And thank you for coming to this event. It was really nice having you
here. It was fun being here.
Yeah, it was fun.
Tell our listeners how they can find you individually on the net, on social media.
You can find me, Karina Hernandez, on Instagram, Pony Salon. And then also I have another Instagram, Pony Education. And so Karina Hernandez, Pony Salon.
And Dre Donahue is my name.
Yeah, but that's not how it is on Instagram. It's what? D-R...
Yeah. Okay, so on Instagram, you can find me at Dre, D-R-E _ Donahue, D-O-N-O-G-H-U-E. Mm-hmm. And my website is that too, so DreDonahue.com.
Awesome. Excellent. All right. Thank you.
That was fun.
Yeah. And we're done.
Thank you again to all of the very talented hairstylists who made themselves available for interviews for this episode of the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. And hey, if you like what you heard and you've been liking what you're hearing and we've been helping you plan your wedding, think about donating some money to our Patreon account. You can become a member of our Patreon account. And as a member, there's a lot of fun, special benefits. So go to patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. That's Patreon, patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. And think about becoming a member. Also, subscribe on iTunes and rate us and review us on iTunes. Make my day. You know I love reading those reviews. And the more ratings and reviews we get, the better we can spread the word that we are out there helping all of you plan your wedding. We have a phone number, so you can call us and leave us a message. Our phone number is 415-723-1625. You can email us your questions. You guys have been doing that. They've been fantastic. At the end of every month, we have a You Ask, We Answer episode where we choose some questions to read on the show and answer them. So email us, thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. And we're on Instagram at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. We're on Facebook at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. We're on Twitter at TBWP Podcast. And the website, you guessed it, thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com. Thank you all so much for listening. We love you guys. Happy planning, everybody. And we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.